30 minutes will inspire you. High school and collegiate Hall of Famer Margot Hinton, touching on the importance of self-discipline, always challenging yourself, and the support of community. It's Give It Up with Margot Hinton on Urban Media Today Radio.
Give It Up podcast on UrbanMediaToday.com, where we give it up for excellence, greatness, and leadership, and where we continue to use sports and community involvement as a metaphor for life. I'm here with my cousins. We're doing a little family podcast. I got my cousin Larry St. Lawrence Harris out in Pittsburgh, exactly where I'm at. Welcome to the podcast. Larry, what's up?
What's going on?
All right. And I have my cousin Kalila, who is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which is a key part to the voting. And we're going to talk about the election today. She's in Philly. I think Philly might hold the keys to the kingdom in terms of Joe Biden being the next president of the United States. So how's it going in Philly, Kalila?
It's going good. It's going good.
Going good. All right. And then last but certainly not least, my cousin Malcolm, Kalila's brother, is here with us. He's in Pittsburgh with me and Larry. Khalil's out in Philly. Brother Minikek, how are you today? I'm glad you're on the podcast.
I'm excited about this time in history, and I'm doing good. Good to be here.
So after the introductions, let's talk about exactly what's going on in America specifically. But to me, America is a microcosm of the world, represents the world right now. And everybody's watching us in terms of this election. We have our current president, Donald Trump, versus Joe Biden, who is the Democratic nominee for president. And we had the election yesterday. We are recording this podcast, and we're calling it the aftermath of the election. And so we're recording it. And at this time, let's talk about what we have. I believe it's, you know, some people are saying it's 64 electoral votes for Joe Biden right now, and 214 for Donald Trump. Another news station says it's 253 for Joe Biden right now, and the same 214 for Trump. So, you know, things are unclear. We have the battleground states, and we're living in one of them in the state of Pennsylvania. But what I want to kick it off first with, my first question for you guys is, did you expect this election to be this close, given the last 4 years of our lives in America? Anybody can jump in and talk about that.
I definitely did not expect this election to be this close. I'm really, really surprised. And it has me wondering, did people just pretend not to be voting for him and then vote for him? I don't know anybody that is a Trump supporter. I am so surprised. I thought it was going to be a no-brainer blowout, and I thought it was going to be like a riot or something. And I just thought it was going to be over with early.
Go ahead, Larry.
Yes and no, per se. Because I did a little volunteering for the election, right? And the more places I went, the abundance of Trump support stuff I started saying. And just the wave of the ignorance that was just continuously just popping up, and the aggressiveness. And we remember last time they were called the silent majority. The people that didn't say nothing was like, oh yeah, you're right. They still voted. So it's really a reflection on a wake up call per se. I mean, we've been here since, you know, day one. We understand the dynamics and how the country works. And it just shows you the thought process of how people really think. Whether it be people that ignored the ignorance, the racism, the sexism, the homophobia, the any ism you can think of, down to people who, even to a 50 cent of the world, who would choose lower taxes than humanity, right? And it just goes to show you the mind state. And it's not just necessarily the racism that comes along with it, right? And how epic it is and still is, and it's just so blunt and, you know, in your face. It's the idiosyncrasies of how people would choose finance over humanity. It's something to really think about, you know. A lot of people who are jumping on the Trump bandwagon, they're not all racist. This is, you know, this group would be realistic about it. But you're not, like I said, and I was talking to my neighbors who were white, right? I said, it's not a black and white thing. It's a moral decision, right? Morally, how do you really stand? You know what I mean?
So for me, I actually thought and still think that Biden is going to win. And I did not think it would be this close. But I am, unlike everybody else, or maybe not everybody else, but, you know, unlike my sister and unlike what Larry said, I have a lot of diverse people on my timeline. I have a lot of people who consider themselves, quote, woke on my timeline. You know, the type of people when they when Rakim said, I guess nobody told you a little knowledge is dangerous. They got like a little bit information, but not enough to really understand. So that I say that all the time, a little knowledge is dangerous because people got just enough information to confuse themselves and others, you know. And then I have a lot of people who are people who I've known through the course of my life who I don't necessarily associate with now as an adult, but I knew them in high school or I knew them in college or they were teachers of mine or they were people who were in different business ventures I had who are not people who I would normally befriend, but I know them, right? And they're Trump supporters vehemently. And they don't come out ever, never, ever, and say anything concrete to support Trump's policies. I haven't seen anybody yet give me a delineation of why they support him that was well thought out and well worded. But they do things like put up negative stuff about Kamala Harris, put up negative stuff about Joe Biden, call him a pervert, put up things to attack the character of the other candidates and to make it seem as though, you know, people who follow the Democratic ticket are just sheeps and just ignorant, and, or people who say both of them are exactly the same, I'm not voting for nobody. They take that approach.
Absolutely. So I'll just throw my two cents in. So my belief was that it was going to be close. And to be honest, I had a feeling that Trump could possibly win because it, to me, this election felt eerily similar to the previous election with Hillary Clinton in that the tactics were the same, voter suppression. That was the number one tactic. And then the other tactic of act like the other side is cheating. You're cheating, collusion, you know, all that terminology to make us believe or to make, you know, the Trump supporters believe that somebody was going to take the election from them when we all know that it would be the opposite, if at all, would occur. So, yeah, so I'm not disillusioned about what's going to happen going forward either. And we'll jump a little bit more into that later about what we think is going to happen going forward. So my next question for you guys is, and we said it a little bit already, but what does this say about the country? That the race is so close and it was not a landslide based on the fact that we've been alive for 4 years. Like, what does this say about us as a people? Larry?
I think, yeah, just an extension of what I said earlier. You know, it's just moral decisions about different stuff, you know. You know, I don't want to be the one that said, oh, Biden gets in and everything's going to be all right. There's going to be a bunch of brothers being murdered next year by the police. Nothing's going to happen. Let's be real. Things of that sort. But it becomes how you look at, like you said, the past 4 years, right, and how you make decisions on how you want to move forward with anything. Not just the presidency, but your thought process, your moral values, how you judge humanity, like I said, and things of that sort. I mean, just as, you know, I just couldn't see myself going into a place and saying, this is the person I want to lead me across the street, let alone for the next 4 years to make major decisions, right? In a very, 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 very spiritual time right now, you know. All this stuff is spiritual, whether it be a negative spirit or a positive spirit.
Great.
You know, before we even talk, like you said, there's people like, okay, if he loses, I will kill you, right? I've seen videos of people riding up with pickup trucks and their Trump support and their shotguns riding up on, you know, the campaign buses. So it's a spiritual warfare, and it just really exposes that, you know, the detriment of how this country is really going, the thought process, the things we see on TV, the things we embody, the things we accept, our community call each other B's and N's and H's, and how do we act, and, you know, all this other different stuff. How do we address each other? How, you know, you could watch television. Malcolm told me years ago, God knows what it is now. Every 12 seconds, a person is murdered. How you become desensitized with things, you know? It's just deep. It's awakening. Don't get me wrong. I'm not surprised. But it's just kind of, you want to have that hope that, oh, yeah, man, and people are marching and they're seeing this stuff, and it's white folks everywhere. They're energized and, you know.
That's what we have. So, Layla, what do you think it says about our country?
I saw this quote, and I want to read it. It says, even if Biden pulls this off, which I believe he will, I'm very disappointed by how close this race appears so far. The past 4 years, we've witnessed racism, sexism, xenophobia, insults against veterans, and a slew of other deplorable behavior and rhetoric emulated from the highest office in the country. And still, this was not enough for people to choose country over party. We have potentially sent a strong message to the world, to our children, and to each other, that the content of one's character, at least in the USA, does not matter. We have also potentially, as a country, signed on to every vile thing he has written and uttered. This, for me, is the saddest and most sickening result of all tonight, regardless of who wins. And I agree with that. I just can't. Somebody else said he had kids in cages. Like, for any human being to think that that is okay. And I just remember, I don't look at any of his television. I don't look at him at all on TV. But I remember when they had that, like, hurricane or whatever they had in Puerto Rico, and he was, like, tossing people paper towels. I was like, he's got to be the worst human being. Just, I don't know, just a deplorable human being to me. And I just think it says a lot about our country that people would still vote for him. Like, I just can't think of one good reason why anybody would vote for him. And I was actually having this debate with my sons, because they were like, well, what about Biden and this crime bill that he did in 1994? And I had to break it down. I'm like, listen, that is a distraction. I'm not saying he did not do that. I am not saying he didn't, maybe wasn't responsible for.
Well, it's a distraction too, because if I recall, as bad as the crack epidemic was back then, Black people were for that crime bill as much as Joe Biden and anybody else in this country. I remember myself being like, yes, this is a great thing.
Oh, I don't remember.
Crack was ravishing our community. So to me, that you can't, I don't think you can look back in retrospect and then say, oh, you shouldn't have did that.
And that's what I'm telling the mayor. We have to deal with
ourselves and say that.
We have to deal with the current president and where we are as a nation right now.
Now,
I mean, we are all quarantined to our homes. People have lost their jobs. They've lost everything. People have died. Yeah, so I'm like, Amir, we can't go back to 1994. And he claims he's going to rectify it. It sounds good. But I said, what people do is find the one negative thing that a politician did and, like, you take that and run with it. And I'm like, what about the 50,000 things that Donald Trump has done? I can't think of really one good thing that he's done. So I'm really shocked. And I'm looking around at people, like, wondering,
yeah,
did they really vote for him? And just, yeah. I don't know. I'm just looking at, I'm just side-eyeing some people, wondering what's really going on.
Brother Men.
Yes. For me, before the election even came, before the campaigning even started in earnest, going all the way back to Trump's first candidacy, you know, the fact that he was able to run, first of all, for president as a legitimate candidate, to me, was just outrageous to me.
That said everything about America right there.
And be endorsed by his party, first of all. And then legitimately have people by the millions who voted him in to be president. And to have rabid, fervent people at these rallies who were attacking people, supporting him, throwing people out with signs, emboldened, and him be allowed in the presidential seat to completely override the Constitution, to do things that are just illegal, and just completely in total defiance of everything about the office. It almost seemed like it was a reality TV show to me. For real. It seemed like the whole presidency, y'all don't even realize this, but I went a whole 2 years and I refused to ever even say his name on social media. I never posted. You never saw a post from me because I couldn't even acknowledge his existence because I just couldn't even accept the fact that this was even real. But what I had to accept was the fact that there was a great number of people who wanted this to be this way. And he represents the interests of millions and millions and millions and millions of people. And many of whom are people who have the same social conditions of people we know, people we love, people we've come from, and they don't even see the contradiction in that. So to me, the whole thing showed me that the thinking of the electorate is just off. People just don't know how to identify their own interests. Now, I'm not trying to be judgmental of anybody by saying that, but anytime you get coal miners in West Virginia to vote for Trump, just as an example, because he says they're bringing coal back, you have to be out of your mind. You know, that's never, you understand what I'm saying? And they're the main ones down there like, Trump, make America great. The machine, the mining machine can do 10 times the work of a human being. Doesn't call off, costs less. And he convinced, a billionaire convinces all these poor people that he's here to help them. So the whole thing showed me that we have a crisis in reasoning in this country. Mm-hmm. There's a crisis in intellectual conversation. You can't have intelligent conversations with people about certain things. Like, you just can't. Like, one of my friends, I'm just going to close with this without rambling. Me and Khalila grew up, she'll know who I'm talking about. It's somebody who grew up, I don't want to say his name on the podcast because he might see this, but I'm going to just say enough. He lived right down the hill from us, like right down the hill. Him and his brother and his sisters, and he posts all this Trump stuff and pictures of Michelle Obama saying that she's a man. And about how Trump represents God's plan for America.
That's Wait, this is a black say. Person?
He's a black person. It's my friend and my brother. If he was somewhere right now in trouble and I saw him, I would be in it with him.
Wow.
It's my man. We were like this and we still are. But I'm like, I respect you too much to go back and forth with you on your page. But what are you trying to do here?
You know what that's about, though. He's against abortion. His whole thing is he's against abortion. I do know who you're talking about.
But what I'm saying is,
but that's the electorate. Working for him?
When is the
last time abortion been like an issue that has been solved through legislation? Why would you have an issue that you vote on that never will be affected by legislation? And that's the one issue that you're going to hang your hat on.
This is the appeals they make to this segment of the population. And there's millions of people like this, though. So what it shows you is that ignorance is a force in this country. People will kill you. People will send people to jail. People will go out against people from all different walks and persuasions of life and do unjust things to them. People will go out and commit all sorts of atrocities. Policemen will kill you right in broad daylight on camera, on live, and nobody will go to jail. And people will focus on one little issue like that. And that's the basis of their decision-making process. I knew we were in big trouble mentally and psychologically as overall as a country. And no matter who wins, we're still in trouble, because at least 45% of the people, either way, don't agree vehemently, you know, and it's become more polarized. So I don't want to, I've already talked for too long, but I believe it's like a civil war situation we're looking at.
Yeah, that's going to be one of my questions down the line. We'll have to dive into that. So we talked about, you know, what does this say about the country? I have another sort of what does this say about the country. Kanye West got 60,000 votes. What does this say about the people that we I'm saying we, it's not really us, but some black Americans are idolizing and looking up to, that you would vote for somebody, number one, who is basically set up to sabotage the election in Donald Trump's favor. And number two, does not have the best interests of black people at heart. What does that, I mean, Kanye West got 60,000 votes.
I'm gonna go first so y'all can talk. He's a clown to me and he's a narcissist. Mm-hmm. I don't mess with Kanye. He's a talented artist. I think he has his mental health issues, and I feel sympathetic and compassionate about that. I think he needs help. I think he needs help, and he's a narcissist. And the fact that people voted for him, though, goes to show exactly what I was talking about Trump. That's all I have to say about him.
There it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's ridiculous, obviously. But even if, okay, say if you really took, like, Kanye's going to be your president, what is his plan? Like, there's not, it was like Kanye's running. He didn't even say, I'm going to do this for Medicaid. Like, there's no plan.
The birthday party.
It's not even a simple fact, okay, that you're an idiot, right? But then you're going behind someone that doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell. There's only in 12 states. So there's no way you can win. No way. Like, if everyone in 12 states voted for you, you still lose, right? I'm being sarcastic, but serious. So this goes to how simple people are, you know, and not taking things serious. Like, and it's not, and again, I'm not saying that Joe Biden or Trump is the messiah of anything. We're just talking about, as the question stands, and as my cousins, all three of you have said, moral values of one person compared to someone else. A mistake, which we all know that was wrong, compared to someone who just said, he said, I could shoot someone and they'll still vote for me. I mean, we can have a million sound bites of the, and he's just, I mean, you know, we can go on all night about that. Forgive me, I'm sorry. Back to Kanye. But
Khalil, you know, I know Kanye is your man, but
what about
Kanye as the president?
No, I love Kanye. I like Kanye West. I would never in a million years ever vote for him or even entertain a conversation about voting for Kanye West. I love his music. I do think he's a talented artist. I do think that he has
extremely challenges.
I mean, I love his music. I like some of his clothes, and I like some of the things that he says about empowering people and having your own business and owning your stuff. I love all of that. He just went off the deep end with this election stuff and some of the other things that he's done. I really don't know where he's coming from, but I give that absolutely zero energy. I don't give it any energy at all. I don't feed into that. I don't even take it seriously. He wasn't even on the ballot. I didn't even know he was on the ballot in 12 states. I didn't know what states he was on the ballot in. I don't even know what that was about. But I do love Kanye West as an artist. I think that he has lost his mind with trying to run for president. But sometimes if you listen to some of the stuff he says, he makes a lot of sense about ownership and, you know, empowering people and owning land and stuff like that.
See, that goes back to my my belief system. I've been talking about this all day and really for the past few years, is that we need to stay in the lane of our expertise, right? When we stay in the lane of our expertise and listen to people that are in the lane of their expertise, that's when we can develop mastery of a thing and have opinions that are actually valid. Kanye West is nobody we should be looking for in terms of a president. I believe, and this is my personal opinion, that Donald Trump is in the lane of a Kanye West. Meaning, they're people that never should be president. They don't have a background for it. They don't have an intellect for it. They don't have anything for that office. And what they would do in that office is basically what I believe Donald Trump has done, is create confusion and chaos. They are the authors of confusion and chaos. So, and to me, anybody that would back that or support that is voting for confusion and chaos. That's just my particular opinion on that subject.
Entertainers.
Yes, exactly.
And Kanye, I want to just say, I think he's an extraordinarily talented individual, but he's not someone who could lead me down the street. And he's not unintelligent either. He's out of balance to me. He's out of balance.
He's out of balance.
I don't even think there was an article that said Kanye West is running for president, but his wife didn't even vote for him. That says it all.
Because it doesn't make any sense. What's your plan? I mean, like, and again, I'm voting you for you for what? Because you got dope beats?
to waste 60,000 votes.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we know the moral of the story, but I'm just saying, like, what's your plot? Like, if this was a serious attempt, like, you know, as far as on that tip, right? Like, I'm voting him for what?
People don't know, man. But it goes back to Margot's original question. You can appeal to certain people. Mm-hmm. If you had put, I guarantee you, if you had put Beyonce on the ballot, and I'm not trying to diss Beyonce in any way, shape, form, or fashion, I think she's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You'd have probably got a million people who voted for Beyonce.
I would have voted for her over Kanye. If it's a battle.
Like, you might have got 3 million people to vote for Beyonce.
People would vote for her.
Behalf is coming out, as they say.
They said we're going to put Beyonce on. The day beforehand, she's on there.
Boom. She's dropping mics.
Because people don't know. They don't understand that this affects the House, the Senate, the Supreme Court, different laws.
Every aspect of our life.
People who will come, your children who will come after you, there will be Supreme Court people, your grandchildren.
Laws that are passed, laws that are not passed. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
In schools that will close, HBCUs that won't get funded, all kind of things, allocation of resources, wars that might be started, mm-hmm. people in your family who don't have health care, mm-hmm. just any number of things.
Education.
The environment. We can go on and on.
Oh, the environment.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
people don't even talk about that.
You don't have a plan.
Every meaningful legislation that was passed during the Obama administration that dealt with improving the environment for the future has been undercut and taken off the books.
Dramatically.
What I feel like we need to know as Black people, that affects us directly.
Of course.
Tremendously.
Of course it does. Environmental, because most of the ailments, right? Because, like, you know, when I did the presidency for, you know, the area a while ago, environmental health is like everything, right? I mean, if you look at in Homewood, they did some screening for lead poisoning. 88% of the children out here had lead poisoning.
Please. 88% of the kids in Homewood had lead poisoning.
There's something I explained to them in a meeting, right? It's called a cocktail for a criminal. When you take certain metals and you put them together, they drive you crazy, right? There's certain plants. The number one homicide rate at one point was in New Zealand, across from this manganese plant, right? These people are literally killing each other at a high, massive rate per capita, of course, right? So we have to understand, we're talking about environmental, education and, you know, things of that sort.
Environmental justice, really.
Exactly. How, you know, I'm in a, you know, do asbestos things of that sort. Poor practices, how our buildings are being torn down without wetting them. So what happens is all those chemicals and asbestos and cancer go floating through the air, right? We did a couple things where we assembled the different plots in Belsuva, right? And it's the high levels of lead and things of that sort. If you look at St. Clair Village, most of the people, friends of mine, I grew up with cancer, actually the majority cancer. So you look at Clairton, top three cancer city in America across the street from U.S. Steel. So.
Wow.
Fact, all facts.
That's deep. And I feel like those are things we need to be talking a lot more about in our community. Because if we're voting for Kanye and we got Clairton as the third largest, highest cancer rate in the country, we're looking at the wrong thing, you guys.
Yeah, you can Google that.
The wrong thing.
Top five. That's why I moved and I quit that job. I said, my health is, you know, more important.
That's deep. So sticking with the whole theme of Black people and our best interest, what about Black Trump supporters? Like, what can we say about, I know we don't want to be, and we don't want to be characterized as Black people as a monolith, meaning we don't walk lockstep in every single thing that we do. Right. We all have minds of our own, and we have different interests. But in certain things, it should be cut and dry. So when he was giving his speech, that I woke up for a couple minutes. I tried not to watch too much last night. I went to bed and kept waking up and then looking and going back to sleep. I saw like this group of black people like at the front of the stage. And I was like, and they were like smiling and just like step and fetch it. It felt like it was like a minstrel show. I mean,
it really is.
It felt like that to me.
Really is. And I want to say that I know a lot of those people. Oh, go ahead, Larry.
No, go ahead. You started. I'm sorry. I wasn't. Sorry for that.
A lot of the people who support Trump don't have three good reasons why. They're people who focus on things like this. And this is something we haven't talked about at all yet because we've been talking about Biden and Trump. But a lot of people I know spent 80% of their energy over the past 6 weeks putting up negative commentary about Kamala Harris.
Wow.
Kamala Harris isn't black. Kamala Harris's mother's Indian. Kamala Harris's mother's not even from America. Kamala Harris was a prosecutor. Kamala Harris put more black men in jail than anybody else in the history of California, which isn't even true.
Right. And Malcolm, just because we're running out of time, I want to end this segment and we'll come back and talk specifically about Kamala Harris at the beginning of the next segment.
But I'm just going to say, just in closing, a lot of people focused on her as a reason why they weren't voting for that ticket.
The black woman. That's deep.
I'm just talking about people who are of the same racial group as Kamala Harris.
We're going to come back and stick with that because I believe that's something important for us. And I definitely want us to talk about it. So we'll be back with the next episode, you guys. We're going to close this one out. This has been the Give It Up podcast on UrbanMediaToday.com. Thank you to my guests, my cousins, Kalila, Larry, and Malcolm. Shout out to Trevin, Kiki, and Mr. Alan Lincoln. Everybody, give it up and be blessed.
It's Give It Up with Margo Hinton on Urban Media Today Radio. Brought to you by Nice to Media Marketing and Promotions.